Right. This hasn't got anything to do with my talk, but I just thought I'd read it because it's good. Once upon a time, a mother made her son a wristband. On it was written, WWJD? This, of course, stood for What Would Jesus Do? She instructed her son to look at the wristband before making decisions on how to live his Christian life. A week later, she was shocked to see that her son had become friends with prostitutes, was hanging out with sinners, even buying people who were already drunk yet another round of beers. Worse still, there's a bit of silence at that point. Worse still, he had walked into their church the previous Sunday and tore down the bookstore, overturned the tables, and threw the cash register through the window. He then made a whip and chased the pastor out of the building, declaring he was turning God's house into a den of thieves. Most shocking was what happened when his mother went to picket the local abortion clinic. Obviously, this is an American story. To her embarrassment, her son was also there, but he was standing with the woman who just had had an abortion and yelled at the protesters, "You are without sin. Throw the first stone." The mother was very distressed, but fortunately, she found a solution to this terrible problem. She made another wristband. This time it read, WWAPD. This, she explained to her son, stood for What Would a Pharisee Do? She took the old WWJD wristband and burned it. Since her son has been wearing the new wristband, looking at it to help them make his decisions, he has become a dedicated tither, a public prayer warrior, an active condemner of sinners, a passionate defender of the old covenant law, and has a great reputation as a godly young man amongst other religious people. Needless to say, the mother is very happy now. She only wishes Jesus would take notice and follow her son's good example. I thought that was quite good, so I thought I'd read it. Great. So obviously we're going to be looking at spiritual gifts, as Tom said today. And, you know, I was just thinking about stories that I know where God has clearly healed people. Some of you will know Kristen Forster, who used to lead River as a whole up until a few years ago. And, you know, I know some of you won't know him, but he now is about 50. But when he was 15, he was starting to get ill. He had a bad cough. They thought that he had TB. And when he went, had a number of tests, they basically found there was like cancer throughout his whole body. And there was nothing they could do about it. They could only give him chemotherapy that would like prolong what he had left of his life, but they couldn't cure him. And so obviously loads of people were praying for him. And all over the place, his parents were, or still are, well-known Christian leaders. They had a lot of contacts. And he got healed totally, completely of cancer. And he's still alive today. You know, and that's like a real healing story. You can't pretend that that actually happened. You know, it's, you know, and then I was thinking about another one that I heard more recently. I think it was about a year ago, someone I know who's called Guy Rotherwell, and he had been doing some leadership stuff with us as a River leadership team. So that's how I knew him. And he does leadership coaching with me. And his wife had cancer, again, completely incurable. You know, she'd been told there's nothing more you could do. And again, just everyone in the church was praying, and she got completely healed. And like, it's almost like, really? Wow! She actually got healed. No cancer left in her body. And, you know, when we hear stories like that, I don't know what your response to them is. You know, on one hand, we might think, wow, that's amazing. There might be another part of us that's a bit like, what? Did that really happen? Almost don't know whether to believe it or not. Does anyone ever feel like that? You know, we hear these different stories. Or, you know, we might think, oh, wow, wish God was using me like that. Or we might feel like, well, God would never use me like that because I'm not a good enough Christian, inverted commas. And, you know, did anyone ever feel any of those things? Yep. And, you know, I've experienced all those feelings myself. I grew up in church, and the church that I grew up in, like, really did believe in, like, you know, gifts of the Spirit. And, you know, every week they would, like, pray for the sick. And we did see some, like, amazing things happen. I remember, like, as a child, I can't remember exactly how old I was, probably about 9 or 10. And this lady had recently become a Christian. And so she brought her mum along to one of the meetings. And her mum was in a wheelchair. She couldn't walk. And she wasn't a Christian. And she got prayed for. And in the meeting, she left walking without her wheelchair. It's quite crazy, isn't it? And, you know, as far as I know, she was perfectly fine beyond that. I mean, we saw her for years to come, and she was perfectly well. And, you know, so I saw stuff like that happen. You know, I would often hear people prophesying or, like, you know, speaking in tongues and interpreting and things like that. But still, even though these things happened in the church that I grew up in, even though no one said this directly, there must have been something that, in the way that it was, that left me feeling like it was still something that the super spiritual people could do. If you see what I mean? It was like this unattainable thing out there of, like, these people who can suddenly hear the voice of God and can speak. And it seemed like quite far off. And so I believed that maybe God could use me in it. But I thought, well, obviously the process needs to be to read the Bible more, to pray more. Something special might happen and God might choose me. That kind of thing. Does that make sense? And so I kind of had that thought process. And, you know, I just want us to kind of be thinking about some of these things when we're looking at spiritual gifts today. So if you want to go with me, let's see, what should we do first of all? Right, our main passage is going to be 1 Corinthians 12, but we're going to look at a couple of verses before them, which I've talked about before, but I think they're always worth repeating. So if you want to go, first of all, into the Gospel of John, chapter 14. So John 14, verse 12. You know, I love the book of John, and I love this kind of, these chapters in particular. And where Jesus is with his disciples and he's sharing his kind of like final words before he's going to go to the cross. And, you know, I mentioned this when I spoke about a month ago, but I feel to say it again. This is Jesus saying, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father." So that's just such a great truth for us, isn't it? It's about believing in Jesus, that we'll do the same things that he's doing and greater things. And the whole greater thing, which I talked about last time, is because the Holy Spirit is going to be in everybody in the church. And so it's not just one man, Jesus, doing stuff. It's lots of people doing stuff. So things get multiplied. And then another prayer, which I often read, I'm going to read it to you again, Ephesians 1, because I think it's so important for us, and it's important for us again this morning. This, my favourite prayer that Paul prayed, Ephesians 1, verse 15. "For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what the hope is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And, you know, Paul is praying in that prayer that we, as the church of God, would really just catch a glimpse of the fact that we have that inheritance in Jesus, that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that overcame death and evil and all bad things, is inside of us. It's not about how much you pray, how much you read the Bible. The Spirit is about the fact that the Holy Spirit is inside of you. And, you know, I need to get that more myself. And, you know, I think we do as a church. So it's good news, isn't it? Takes the pressure off. So I just want us to now go to what we're going to be looking at today in 1 Corinthians. So just to give a background, this is Paul writing a letter to the church in Corinth, which is like a really spiritual place in terms of there's all kind of things going on. There's worship of all different kind of idols and gods and weird, wonderful things going on. So that's the kind of context of the place that he's writing into the church there. And one of the things was happening that, you know, because people, not necessarily people who are Christians, but having crazy spiritual experiences, people would start to kind of like raise them up as being people that required some kind of worship, if that makes sense. And so Paul's speaking into all that kind of context that is part of their culture. And so 1 Corinthians 12 verse 4, it says, "Now there are variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." So just let's think about those verses just for a minute before we get into what we're looking at today. You know, Paul's really speaking into the fact that, you know, there's all these different kinds of gifts of the Spirit, but they're all coming from the same place, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit works through all people, not special people, all people, and he works through them for the common good. So that's what the purpose of the gifts of the Spirit is for the common good. And so this is the key thing we're going to look at today. So verse 8, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills." Okay, now in the time that we've got, I'm not going to say everything that could possibly be said on spiritual gifts. Not that I even know it. But this is just going to be a real quick look, which I hope is going to encourage us in these things. So you ready? Yeah. Good. Okay. So I'm going to explain from my understanding what each of these gifts are. And as we go, if you've got a story of how God has used you in one of these gifts or something that you know about, then I'd like us to share one story per thing. So please feel free to think of stories. Okay, so the first one is the word of wisdom. So it's kind of like when you're in a situation and you need that wisdom to know what to do about it. And this could be in a whole millions of different types of ones. And often a word of wisdom will need to be accompanied with one of the other gifts that we're talking about, because you might have a knowledge God might give you a knowledge about something, but you need the wisdom to know what to do about it. But some examples of words of wisdom actually in scripture are the famous one, King Solomon. Who knows this one I'm going about to say? You know, two women come to him. They're both fighting over this baby that they both believe is theirs. Well, they don't believe. They're claiming it's theirs and they're fighting over it. So they go to King Solomon and he says, okay, I'll cut the baby in half and you can have half each. And the one that's really the mother says, no, no, don't do that. She can have him. And so he knows that she must be the real mother, because the real mother would rather her child live with another mother than die. So that was like an example of a wisdom in a situation. You know, we see it with Jesus when, you know, the story where the Pharisees bring a lady that was caught in adultery and say, you know, Moses says we should stone someone that's caught in adultery. And you know, Jesus has come with a message of grace. And in that moment, you know, if he'd have said, you know, he needs to say the right thing because the crowds could get crazy and there could be a real scene. And he has that thing where he says, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. And one by one, they walked away. And that's an example of a word of wisdom in a situation. Does that make sense? Has anyone got a story where God has given them a word of wisdom? Feel free to share. Sometimes it's harder to pin down. I'm sure it does happen. We don't always realise it. Okay, if you think of one, we come. Oh, go, okay, Tom.
It's just a kind of, it sort of sounds kind of dumb, but I suppose that these things are kind of very natural sounding things, aren't they? I think when I was working at... I'm trying to remember how what actually happened. When I was doing Camp America, do you remember Pokemon cards? Anyone remember those things? All the kids had Pokemon cards. And I was the kind of the camp counselor. So I was in charge of a group of kids. And one of them, one of the kids in my cabin had stolen the Pokemon cards of the other kid. And so I had this situation where none of them were owning up to it. And I basically, I don't know if this is a word of wisdom or not, but I just said, okay, I just gave them an amnesty. You know, I said, all right, basically, if you own up now, there'll be no consequence. But if you don't, you know, we're going to have to go down. We're probably going to have to search for everyone's bags. Blah, 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 blah. Even though I knew we weren't going to do that, probably. And the kid who'd done it just sort of like burst into tears and kind of handed over the Pokemon cards. I don't know. There you go. Is that one? Does that count?
Great. Thanks, Tom. It's good. So word of knowledge. So this is something more specific where God might tell you something specific. So sometimes ways that we've seen it in church meetings is that people might have a word of knowledge. God is wanting to heal someone with a specific thing and they might explain something, great intricate detail of some ailment that someone's got. And in doing that and God saying that he wants to heal it, it kind of releases faith into the room. Someone get prayed for and get healed of that. But that's just church meetings. You know, this can happen in all kinds of situations. You know, I really feel like I've experienced this before in ways that are not appropriate to share in a talk where, you know, I've been in situations where God has specifically shown something and that knowledge has enabled me in a situation. Sorry, that sounds so vague, but I can't really think how to explain it in a less vague way. So it's something very specific. But I've discovered in my life so far that if you get a word of knowledge, you need a word of wisdom. So God might show you something, but it's what do you do with it? You know, God might show you this person that is in your life is got this particular problem going on. Okay, you might feel God has shown you that. what you need wisdom as to how to handle that. Maybe God's showing it to you because he wants you to pray for them. Maybe it's showing it to you because he wants you to be sensitive to them. It's not so that you can go up to them and say, God has told me this is going on in your life. You know, you might never ever talk about it with that person. Does that make sense? So, you know, we need wisdom with knowledge. The point of the gifts is not to make us feel good about ourselves because we have some special power. It's about the common good. It's about serving people. So if anyone can be thinking about a word of knowledge thing, we'll do maybe some stories, but I know we need to move on. Faith. So gift of faith. And I think that, you know, we generally need faith all the time, but I think there are some times when a gift of faith comes, we just know, like, I've just got faith to believe that this thing's going to happen. You know, the clearest thing that I always remember for myself was, when I was 21, I just left uni. And, you know, it was in the days before iPads and smartphones, and we'd only just got the internet. And I'd only had an email for a couple of years. we still had dial-up, in fact. And I didn't have a computer, and I really needed one to do stuff that I needed to do, and I was like praying for one, and I didn't have very much money at this point, and I'd been praying for one, and I woke up this one morning, it was a Sunday morning, and I was just like, I just have this faith that God is going to provide me with a computer today. I just know it. It was really weird. And so I got out of my bed. I put my hands on my desk. And I just was like, thank you, Jesus. I just blessed my desk with a computer. And by the end of the day, I'd been given a computer. It was crazy. But it really was this just like faith. To believe it. And I've seen at different points in my life of where I'm like wondering whether or not God is wanting me to do something, or I'm thinking about doing something, and I know it's a risk, it would take God coming through. And when I, you know, I'm praying and I'm looking for that, do I feel that gift of faith come on me to believe that actually, yeah, God is in this and he's going to supply that need, or he's going to meet us in that kind of thing. So that's my version of a gift of faith. Gifts of healing. And it's kind of obvious what that is. And where's Aaron? Aaron, do you want to come and share? Because Aaron, last night I was chatting to Aaron, and he was really excitedly telling me about some stories of things that have happened this week and what God's talking to him about. So I thought it'd be great for him to share that.
So yeah, since the summer I've been on a bit of a journey with God, just kind of stepping out in faith and trying to live it more as a lifestyle. And basically this week, Wednesday, I prayed for someone's headache and it completely went. Thursday in our Christian Union meeting, I felt like someone had a bad shoulder for the whole meeting. So at the end, I went round all these people trying to find someone with a bad shoulder. Basically, I found someone who had injured it in judo a few years ago. And yeah, they got completely healed too, which was pretty awesome. And Emily Dixon's leg, wherever she is, she injured her leg a few weeks ago, was it? About a month ago, and it was still painful. So when we were doing club mission on Friday night, we prayed for it, and it got better. Yeah, it was... there you go, completely ill now. So yeah. Kind of awesome, yeah.
That's really, really great. And do you want to just say those things? I don't know if you remember last night you were saying to me about God was showing you about what it's all about, what the gift of healing is all about.
Yeah, so basically on this kind of journey thing, like for a long time I've wanted to see like healings and miracles and all that sort of thing. And literally the last couple of weeks or so I've learned that it's literally just about love. And how Jesus never went out to see healings or anything like that, but he actually went out to love. And that's when the signs and wonders and miracles happen, is actually because he wanted to love everyone. And yeah, I kind of learned that just the last couple of weeks, like listening to YouTube videos and reading books and whatnot, that sometimes we always want to go out and see these amazing things happen, but we forget to love people. And he even says, like, without, like, if you can do all this stuff without love, it's pointless. And yeah.
Awesome. Go, Aaron. And, you know, even this week in the cafe, there was a healing. Jane Watson, you know, the Village Centre manager, she was telling me that, in fact, one of Karen's relatives, I don't know exactly what was wrong, but they were in a lot of pain, who's not Christian. And Karen went and asked Jane to pray for them. And Jane was like, I'll pray for them as long as they or wanted me to pray, and it's not just you trying to get me to come pray for them. And so she went over and said, would you like me to pray? And they were like, yes. And she prayed for them and just went off and did her work, came back, and he was like, wow, it's all gone. The pain's gone. So we're like, yes, that's what we want to be seeing happen in this cafe. So that was, like, really encouraging. We need to keep praying for Jane that she'll get a miracle herself, because she's in a lot of pain herself at the moment. But, yeah, so that's gifts of healing, effecting of miracles. So obviously healings are miracles as well, but then there are other miracles that happen. So, like, you know, when Jesus turned the water into wine, it's like a little crazy miracle, isn't it? You know, or like the feeding of the 5,000, or, you know, where food multiplied. It's, you know, God can do crazy things totally outside of the norm that is beyond healing as well. Prophecy, you know, we see in these chapters, you know, prophecies about edifying the church, building up, encouraging. And it, you know, it talks about how, you know, pursue love, but earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you might prophesy. And so we should all be pursuing prophecy, because it brings encouragement to people. And, you know, I just want to encourage you. When I was a teenager, I was at a youth camp, and they must have done a talk on stuff to do with the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts. And so I went forward to get prayer, and someone prayed for me, and they were like, I just feel like God's going to use you with your voice. You know, I don't know whether it's going to be preaching or singing or prophesying. So they were saying this, and then they were like, oh, and also God's going to give you prophecy and words of knowledge. So I was like, great, because I was excited about this, but also in my mind it was like this, wow. Because it seems so far out there thing. And I was like, great. And so I was sitting there, and this thought kept coming into my head of, like, I should go to my friend and say to her, God says you're going to be strong. And I was so scared to go over to her and say this, because I was like, oh, say it's God. Is it God? Is it not God? Duh. You know, it was all going on in my head. And then I just thought, you know what? This is not the worst thing in the world to say, even if it's not God, so I should probably just go and say it. So I go over to her and say, you know, I just feel like God's saying that you're going to be strong. And she just bursts into tears. And she was kind of talking about how she'd been saying to God, I'm just not strong enough to do things I feel like you're asking me to do. And so for me, at that point in my journey of trying to learn how to listen to God, that was, like, amazing. That's why I always use it when I talk about these things, because it was such a scary thing for me to do at that point in time. But it had an immediate effect and encouraged me to know that God had been saying that. So I encourage us to take risks. Okay, I'm going to be very, very fast now because I'm taking too long. So the next one is distinguishing of spirits. And I think sometimes when we hear that, we imagine it, maybe if we've grown up in church situations of, like, where Jesus is casting out spirits of people, we just kind of imagine that it's a gift to do that. Has anyone ever thought of it in that way? But I think it's more than that. It's that, you know, it's that thing where, you know, the Spirit of God is inside of us, and we're kind of working out, is this thing the Spirit of God or not? You know, I looked up in the Strong's Concordance, which I'm always grateful for Helen for teaching me in my younger days how to do that. And, you know, it was talking about that in the word spirit being about human, demonic and God. And it's that distinguishing of things. Is this teaching, is this thing that this person's talking about, is this, does that make sense? Is it of God? Is it not of God? Is it something more sinister? Is it a human thing? It's that ability to distinguish. And, you know, Jesus talks about by their fruits, you will know them, when he's talking about false prophets. And it's that he's talking about that ability to distinguish what is of God and what's not of God. Does that make sense? There's loads more I can say on that, but that will just be enough for now. And then the last two are various kind of tongues and interpretation of tongues. And, you know, I really believe, you know, we see on the day of Pentecost, there's this, you know, the Spirit is poured out, crazy things happen. They've got like fire, tongues of fire on their head. They're speaking in languages that they don't know. You know, crowds are gathered in Jerusalem of people who are from all different parts of the world, who speak different languages, and they hear these people talking about God in their own languages. And so it's like this new weird kind of phenomena, miracle thing, a sign that God has done. And, you know, I haven't got time to explain it all, but if we look in Corinthians, you know, I believe that the gift of tongues, you know, that we all should get it. You know, it talks about how it edifies us. It's a helpful thing in connecting with God, in communing with him, all of that kind of stuff. But there's also a place for it, like maybe when we're gathered together as Christians, that people might feel, actually, God is wanting me to speak out a tongue, and that then someone will interpret it. And, you know, I've heard stories as well of people who sitting in meetings who are from some far off country and hear someone speaking in a tongue in their native tribal language and explaining things to them about God. You know, I've heard stories of things like that happening. And, you know, I mean, here obviously lots of people speak in tongues, and we see that a lot, but we don't often see the whole someone giving a tongue and interpreting it. That doesn't happen so much. Or maybe I think it's because we don't expect it to happen, so we're not open to it happening. Does that make sense? In the sense that if you're like, God, please use me in this, it's more likely to happen. You know, a little story about that. When about almost 10 years ago now, I did this leadership and theology course called RadNet, which Helen also did that, but not the same time as me. And Faith Forster, who's one of the leaders and speakers on it, she used to speak on spiritual gifts, and she would like, you'd be there, and part of her learning process, so she'd done this talk, the way she would have done it, which I do it like this in Ignite, but it's not Ignite, so you're safe. She'd be like, okay, Vicky, God's just going to give you a tongue, you're going to speak it out, and I'd be like, John, you're going to interpret it, and you'd be like, what? And she did that to me, and I was like, oh my goodness, this is like so scary. But honestly, I've never experienced anything like this before or since, but I just felt like this, I can't explain it, it sounds weird unless you'd actually experience. I just felt like the Spirit of God just inside of me, and just out of me is the only way I can explain, just this tongue came. And you know, it's only I that can truly say how real that was. And it was just a really amazing thing. And it's not always like that with spiritual gifts. It's just normal things where you're not sure whether it's God or not. But that was kind of my experience of that at that one time. So, you know, the Holy Spirit has given us these gifts for the common good. And it's not just for our church, it's for day-to-day life. And the qualification for being used by them is because the Holy Spirit is in us. It's nothing else. And the key thing is learning to hear the voice of God and cooperate with what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do. That's the key thing. It's not about how much we pray, how much we read the Bible, how good enough we feel. It's about the relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, my little message that I really would love you to take away, you ready for it? Is the Holy Spirit is in me, therefore I can be used in spiritual gifts. So simple, but profound, hopefully. So I want to say it again, and maybe you can say it as well. The Holy Spirit is in me, therefore I can be used in spiritual gifts. I'll just say it again. The Holy Spirit is in me, therefore I can be used in spiritual gifts. And just imagine, you know, if we really believed that and expected stuff to happen in normal life. So it doesn't matter how stressed we feel, how tired we are, whether or not we feel like we spent enough time with God in the morning before the day, when we are at work or at uni or with other mums, you know, wherever we find ourselves, that actually the Holy Spirit can nudge us and give us something for the people around us that's going to bless them. You know, maybe we pray for a healing. Maybe God gives us a word of encouragement. Maybe we're aware of something and it changes the way we're responding to them or the way we're going to pray for a person. You know, all different kinds of things. And we've looked at this in such a short way. But my thing that I really want to get across to us is, let's be a church that expects to be used in spiritual gifts when we're together, but also in the day-to-day of life. You know, let's not make God so kind of distant and intellectualized that we're not expecting him just to work among us in the day-to-day of life. And so I just want you just to spend a moment. Maybe you want to close your eyes and let's just ask the Holy Spirit, you know, what can this look like for me this week? It might be that there's one of these gifts in particular that God wants to use you in this week, and you can just be looking out and expecting to be used. Maybe it's one of them you'd really like him to use you in this week. Just ask him. I don't think he'll say no. And so let's just spend some time just quietly just thinking and praying and talking to God about that. You know, one of the things that when the Holy Spirit came in Acts was when the power came, also gave them confidence and boldness. And, you know, that's what we need this week. You know, it just came back to mind. You might have heard me tell this story before, but when I was in my third year of university, I was sitting in Crosslands, which for those of you who don't know, that's one of the bars on campus. And I heard this girl sitting at the, she was working behind the bar, and she was telling someone her mum was really ill and was in hospital. And I just felt like, oh, I just know that I've got to go and ask her if she wants me to pray for her mum, but it's really scary. And I just was one of those things, it was just, I couldn't get it out of my mind. I just thought, I have to do it. So I just went over to her and said, oh, you know, I'd really love to pray for your mum. Had a little chat. That was that. And she was like really grateful that I said this to her. Anyway, months later, I bumped into her in the toilets in the student union on a night out. And she was like, oh, you know what? My mum got better and she went out of hospital. And she was like, and I knew it was because you prayed. And I tried to tell my mum and she wouldn't believe it. But I knew that it was because of that. And I was like, wow, that's so good. And it was so exciting. And, you know, maybe there'll be a moment like that for you this week where it's scary, but you hear something, you have an opportunity to go over and just say, can I just pray? And, you know, the last time I did a similar talk like this in Slough in the summer on the same passage, and I was like encouraging everybody to think about which gift they want to be used that week and ask God for an opportunity. And I was like, okay, God, what do you want to do with me this week? And I felt a lady that we're working with at the Hub, who is not a Christian as far as I'm aware. And I just really felt like, oh, I just feel like I should pray with her this week if I get a chance. And so I saw her and she's just asking me loads and loads of questions about stuff to do with God. And I just said to her about praying for her, and she was so moved, like she couldn't believe it. And, you know, if I hadn't made that commitment on the Sunday, I probably wouldn't have said it, because I'm like very sensitive of like not wanting to be too full on and all of this stuff. But so I just encourage us, let's take those moments as they present themselves, and let's believe that the Holy Spirit is in us to do something. let's not just expect the same old, same old.